Welcome to the people joining us on the Zoom. I went to Lowe's yesterday to pull some things together for Christmas and the decorating process. And I'm pretty sure most of the people in Ventura were at Lowe's yesterday. It was crowded, but it was a good experience. Being out and about, and the people were happy, the clerks were helpful, and they had the Christmas music going. And after I walked about a half a mile back to my car, I thought that was better than I thought it was going to be. And then I thought, you know what, it's early in the season. I'll bet if I come back on December 22nd, it might be a little different atmosphere. You know, maintaining an attitude of gratitude throughout the holidays can be stressful. We get pushed and pulled and tugged in different directions. Well, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. And you know what I like about Thanksgiving is we don't have to work real hard to be grateful. Every Thanksgiving in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we don't have to work hard at being grateful. It may seem like a simple thing. Of course we're grateful. We've been saved by grace. We don't have to dig very deep to express and rejoice our gratitude. But for me, it is kind of a big deal because I spent so many years of my life in a place of arrogance and ignorance, anger. I remember that I could easily gather at the Thanksgiving meal and speak of my gratitude, but it was just a mental exercise. Superficial, not eternal, not internal. I didn't know real gratitude until I knew Jesus Christ. Karen and I speak regularly about not becoming complacent about our faith, about what God has done for us, in us, and for us. We sit down daily to reflect on the day and speak to God about our burdens and our blessings. And I never want it to become just another part of our day, another thing we do. I'm good at just going through the motions, moving from one task to another. In the world we grow up in, we're conditioned that way, aren't we? But one of my objectives this year has been to be present, completely present. All in at whatever I'm doing. I don't want to wait until Thanksgiving to think about what I'm grateful for. In the ministry that I work in daily, I see the negative effects of complacency. The men we work with are often grateful for the opportunity to be supported in their transition from prison to independent living. They often welcome the support and accountability that's been put in place to help them get on track and address the issues that led them to prison. The clean, organized environment, the food, fellowship, classes, counseling. What a great place to start a new chapter in your life. But too often, when I see men start to move forward, they secure employment, connect with the faith and communities, get a car, get a girlfriend, and then become too busy to engage in the things that help them get on track to begin with. Faith, recovery, fellowship. I can't count how many times I've heard I'm too busy to go to class. I'm working on Sunday so I can make some extra money. I have too many responsibilities. I can't find time to meet with my mentor. Inevitably, when we don't remain engaged in the things that have helped us get to the point of living a free and responsible life, complacency sets in. Negative attitudes reappear, quickly followed by negative actions. Taking things for granted. Not remaining grateful, in my experience, is one of the leading causes of getting off track. I see it in my life every day. And that's certainly not exclusive to those who are attempting to transition from prison or struggling with addiction. It applies to all of us. Amen? On Friday, I met with a former life prisoner who got out on Thanksgiving after 20-plus years of incarceration. He's now enrolled in New Hope. He's a humble, faithful, and extremely grateful man with a loving and supporting family of believers. His mother and sister were over the moon to have him back. It was a precious moment to be a part of. During our time together, I caught myself thinking, I pray that this brother remains grateful and engaged in his faith, because for me, gratitude is a key component of being able to exercise our faith effectively, growing in Christ and Christ growing in us. The process of growing in Christ. If you take a glass of rancid, contaminated water and you begin to pour pure water into the glass, eventually you'll have a glass of pure water. It will take a lot of water. It will also take time, patience, and commitment. That is what my in Christ has done for me. That's what my connection to this fellowship has done for me. The pouring out of God's grace and mercy have slowly decontaminated this vessel. Those of the world may ask, why pour pure water into a poisoned vessel? What's the point? Why are we wasting pure water on that which is clearly a lost cause? Why not save the water or share it with others who won't contaminate it? In Jesus Christ, there are no lost causes. And we are all contaminated. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Pure water, His grace and mercy are available in an endless supply. We're supposed to give it away and to pour it into others. Our glasses, our vessels remain healthy by giving away God's grace. I don't need to worry about emptying my glass. In fact, pouring out God's grace is how I remain grateful, present, and engaged with God. Giving grace is how we prevent becoming stagnant and complacent. Karen and I had the privilege of spending Thanksgiving at New Hope. It was a beautiful experience for both of us. It's fascinating and humbling how God has put everything and everyone in place. For me personally, as I watched Karen interacting with the participants, with their wives, mothers, and siblings, I was in awe of who my wife has become in Jesus Christ. Moved by the amount of grace that God has given her and how she allows God's grace to flow through her so freely. Both witnessing and living in the genuine care and concern for these men and their families that God has given us is an awesome place to be. I like caring about people. The grace that we gave away was quickly replenished on the ride home as we rejoiced in our faith in God's goodness. I'd like to talk a little bit today about some other things that God cultivates in us and then we give away. The fruits of the Spirit. I believe I've shared here before that some years ago when I was studying about the fruits of the Spirit, it dawned on me that the fruit trees that God has created on this planet are designed to meet the needs of others. The apple tree doesn't ingest its own fruit. Its fruit is used to benefit others. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit develop in us as believers as a result of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They are cultivated through prayer, study, fellowship, and worship. They are all designed to abide in us, but they don't just benefit us. Each of the fruits of the Spirit radiate out from us and impact the lives of others. Think about the people in your lives that are the easiest to be around, the most beneficial to be around. Think about those who have mentored you, who you respect, admire, and are inspired by. We are attracted to those who are in possession of the fruits of the Spirit. Number one, love. I remember when I read Mark 12:31 for the first time. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The scripture confused and worried me. I don't think I should love my neighbor as I love myself. That's not likely to produce a healthy relationship. I didn't know love and certainly didn't know how to share it. It was a process of accepting Jesus' love for me and learning what love is. It started by loving the Christ that was in me now, the new creation. The development of the fruits of the Spirit is not an overnight event. But I'm happy to report that I'm no longer afraid of that verse. I can love my neighbor as I love myself. Some of us are born with joy, and others are blessed with it in their name. I thought that joy was the feeling you get when USC beats Notre Dame in college football. Today I know that feeling is really happiness. Because what I wanted to happen, happened. Today I know that real joy is watching one person ministering to the needs of another. One person pouring out God's grace to another. That's what joy is for me today. I grew up in a family that taught me that is when no one's getting hurt. When there's no crisis, no conflict. Today I know the fruits of the Spirit are so much deeper than the understanding that I grew up with. Today peace is knowing that I am saved. Romans 8:28 is my reality today. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That's the peace that we get to live in today. During times of trial or triumph, God is present. Patience is an ongoing process in our day-to-day life. It's not just about not getting all worked up when things don't go according to our plan or people don't act the way we figure they should. It's about meeting people in situations where they are, not imposing my agenda, timeline, or standard on others. The good news is that we get to work on patience every day, right? True patience is when we maintain and demonstrate all the other fruits of the Spirit when things aren't going according to our plan. When I was a boy, I thought that kindness was something that you learn in Boy Scouts, and goodness is something that you're supposed to demonstrate toward your grandmother or elderly neighbor. Today, I don't want to just learn or act kind. I want to be kind. I want God's goodness to live in me and nurture others. I had no idea what faithfulness was. I'd never heard the word. It wasn't spoken in my home. I've learned what true faithfulness is through God's word and through the actions of God's people. Committed, unwavering, unselfish. Faithfulness. Ephesians 2:8 brings me comfort today. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. The faith I have is not something I produced. Faith itself is a gift of God. Even the ability to believe in and seek to worship and know God is a gift from God. When I was a youngster, we had a little girl that lived next door that got a baby duck for Easter. She would drag that poor duck around like a rag doll. Her mother kept telling her, "Be gentle, be gentle." My neighbor never learned how to be gentle with the duck. The duck didn't make it. I always thought that gentleness was the opposite of roughness, which it is, but it's so much more in Christ. Gentleness diffuses. It doesn't have a need to be right. Gentleness nurtures and has no need to defend itself. I had a grandmother that was gentle. Grandmothers are the absolute best at meeting the needs of others through gentleness. Amen. All the fruits of the Spirit combined produce a measure of self-control in my life. Humility, gratitude, the mindset of a servant. Self-control has certainly benefited my life, but it affects my marriage, every relationship I have, my daily thought processes, being obedient to God, setting goals and staying on track. The fruits of the Spirit. The last 12 months of Karen and I's lives have probably been the most burdensome and the most blessed that we've experienced. What a ride. Without the fruits of the Spirit in me, I am of no real use to others. And as we wind down another year that we get to celebrate together, I want to reflect on God's goodness, and I want to take stock in what fruit is readily available to others and what I can concentrate on in the future to ensure a healthy harvest. My prayer for all of us in the coming year is that we will learn the lessons and reap the blessings. Thank you.